Today we celebrate. But take yourself back just over 2,000 years ago when Jesus was walking the planet. A week ago, Palm Sunday, the known world at that time was celebrating, at least in Jerusalem, the entrance of Jesus Christ coming into the city as the king who had been promised through many prophecies for 700 years prior to that. And they had believed and waited, and finally it happened. And so they're rejoicing and shouting Hosanna. And it's an exciting time for the city of Jerusalem at that time. The awaited king has arrived. It's like his installation service, riding a donkey through town. But then we fast forward a few days and we get to Friday. And all of a sudden, more than likely, some of the same crowd that was saying, Hosanna, praise be to God, is now saying, crucify him. Crucify him. Give us Barabbas. We want the murderer, the bad guy. Crucify Jesus. Total upheaval, total disarray. Their promised Lord and Savior, their promised King, things aren't turning out the way the disciples thought they would. His 12 closest friends had abandoned him and ran away when they came to arrest him. One of them even betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver unto death. Everyone in his life left, rejected him, betrayed him, abandoned him. This is not a celebration day. We're on this side of resurrection, so we get to celebrate. But put yourself in those moments, what the disciples were going through, what the church of that day was going through. All they had hoped for and believed in for generations of the promises and prophecies that were given 700 years ago in the book of Isaiah. They all seem to have failed in this moment. Of course, it ends with Christ dying on the cross. Like, there was hope until now he's dead. What do we do now that all of our promises have been shattered and broken? And of course, we roll into Saturday, and there's not much said about Saturday in the Word. They call it Silent Saturday. And there's just this grave with this lifeless body laying in it, with this giant stone rolled in front of the entrance to the tomb. Hopelessness, despair. What do we do now? Everything we put all of our hope and ambition into has turned out to fail us, has not turned out like we hoped or dreamed. Have you ever been in that place in your life? Have your hopes and dreams been shattered? Have things not turned out quite like you thought they would? Maybe they turned out better. But in their situation, they were going terrible. Until Sunday morning, the women gathered their spices, going to agree that death had won, going to prepare the body of Jesus with these spices. They didn't go saying he is risen because they didn't know yet. I'm sure it was a very sorrowful, mournful time, a time of grief and bewilderment. And what are we doing? What is going on? What's going to happen next? But they arrive at the tomb, and the stone's been rolled away. The tomb is empty. They meet with a couple of angels that have a really cool story that say, he is risen. He is risen. We're in this series of Journey with Jesus. Today we're talking about Journey with Jesus in resurrection power. Resurrection power, understanding what that means for the stone to have been rolled away and for Christ to have risen from the dead. Some people in your life that you know, that you engage with weekly, monthly, maybe daily, they're still stuck in the in-between. They're still experiencing the what-ifs. They're still experiencing betrayal and rejection. They're still experiencing hurt and suffering and sorrow and grief. And they haven't yet experienced the stone being rolled away in their lives. Do you know people like that? I know lots of them. I know lots of people that need to hear about the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. What we gain through this resurrection power in Jesus Christ, we gain power over sin. Sin no longer has a hold on me. Sin no longer governs my life. This world is fallen. It is sinful. It's the nature of this world, not heaven, not God's world, but our world. In the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 8, see what the Word of God says about it. Book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What hope? What hope that brings? The stone's been rolled away. Jesus Christ died for me even when I was a sinner, even when I was against all that heaven stands for, even when I was in my wrongdoing and wrong way of living. Christ didn't say, if you come to church enough, if you read your Bible enough, if you pray enough, then I will take care of your sin. He said, no, even before you come to me, I'm going to go pay the price, but you've got to arrive and pick it up. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavishes on us with all wisdom and understanding. In him we have redemption. What does redemption mean? Zeke, can you help me out? You mind coming on the stage and helping me out? It's going to be really fun. Okay, you don't have to. Strider, you want to help me out? Nobody? I was trying to pick on a kid that didn't get to go to class. No? Anybody that didn't get to go to class? Willow? Nobody. Yes. I don't know if you're Michael or Gabe. You want to help me out, Michael? All right. Yeah. For the record, they're identical twins, so. You what? Oh, you guys look really identical to me. I'm sorry. So I'm going to give you a job to do. Can you do that for me? I need you to take this snowball and stand over there. And I need you to throw it at me and hit me in the hand. He missed the mark. It's a paper ball, not as he'd hit me with a snowball. Try it again. I mean, they're really good, but it's really tough. Oh, he hit me. Good job, Michael. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. To sin is to simply miss the mark. To simply not hit what we're aiming at. And when we talk about sin spiritually, it's to miss the mark of righteousness that God has set before us. And when we miss the mark, he doesn't just say, okay, you're done, lightning bolt, poof. He says, here, Arby, try again. If we're willing to come to him in repentance and seek forgiveness. He says, here, Arby, try again. Try again. Try again. Try again. And this is the resurrection power that we have through Christ our Lord and Savior. So he gives us opportunity to keep returning. And when we accept him as our Lord and Savior, we no longer live a life of sin. We might still live a life with sin. There's still sin in our lives, and God's still working that out of us, and we might slip up and miss the mark, but we come to him in repentance, and that's the resurrection power that we have. If it wasn't that, it would be like when I'm coaching baseball, we have this theory, like when we're throwing, it's hit a guy in the chest, because at least if he misses it, he'll wear it. Right? It teaches you to catch the ball. I don't like to get hit with them. But the other half of that is we have to hit them in the chest. And we could give them one opportunity at the beginning of the season and say, okay, throw the ball, hit him in the chest. You missed, you're off the team. That would be fair, wouldn't it? He didn't do what I asked. That's how some people's relationship with God is. They think, well, once I get good enough, then I will attempt a relationship so I don't get kicked out. But God's not like that. And you can ask my players, we let them play even if they can't hit a guy in the chest. Even if they mess up, we give them another opportunity. We say, go do it again. And we practice and we repeat and we practice and we repeat. And it's the same way with Christ. He says, Arby, you messed up. Go do it better. Arby, you messed up. Go do it better. And the resurrection power gives us power over the sin in our lives that we can walk forward in freedom and no longer be bound by that which once enslaved us. But we can walk in liberty and freedom knowing that Christ loved us so much that he paid the ultimate price for my redemption, that I could be made whole in him. If we miss the mark, we need to practice or we need to adjust. Do you just need more practice at doing the right things? Do you need to know God's word better so you can follow his plan for your life? Or do you need to adjust your habits, your hangouts, your circles of influence, your places of entertainment and recreation? Because if we're missing the mark, there's a reason. There's a reason. Why is it? What needs fixed? What needs adjusted? And of course, in baseball, it's, well, your release point's up here. You have no accuracy. It's going somewhere. But if we end with our fingers at our target, then we're pointing the direction we want it to go. Spiritually, we have a whole manual how to adjust to God's plan for our lives, how to adjust for how he asks us to live our lives. But we have to adjust, we have to practice, we have to learn. And that's why you showed up here today instead of chasing turkeys or bears around the woods, if you like to do what I like to do, or picking mushrooms or flowers or scenic drives on the Selway or whatever you would rather be doing today. No, you've chose to sit under the teaching of the word. The second piece of resurrection power that we get new life. We get new life now on this earth as we're walking it out day by day. It's not something we have to wait for, it's something we get to grow and develop into, but we get it now. Romans 8, verses 5 through 11. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 through 11. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live according to the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. If we're living in our flesh, we cannot please God. That's a scary place to be. That's like, I think they wrote a song about it, The Highway to Hell. If we're not pleasing God, we're on a highway to hell. Hell was not intended for us. Hell was intended for Satan and his fallen angels. God warns us in his word. And we're going to look at a verse in a little bit that tells us of his will for us. But if we live by the Spirit, the resurrection power, the resurrection life that we have living inside of us because of Christ our Lord and Savior, his Holy Spirit dwelling within us, the temple of the Holy Spirit, I'm no longer limited to my resources, to what Arvi can do. But I have access to the wisdom, the understanding, the knowledge of the Holy Spirit. I no longer have to be enslaved in this world, but I can walk in freedom and liberty. I no longer have to be held captive by depression, but I can walk forward in joy and excitement of life. If we walk in the flesh, we cannot please God. We don't have to settle. The old has gone and the new has come. This resurrection power in the new life gives us power to love like Jesus. How did Christ love us? He loved us when we were still enemies of the cross. He loved us before we loved him. He loved us when we rejected him. He loved us when we betrayed him. He loved us when we crucified him and sent him to the cross. Us being humanity, as he hung on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Resurrection power is being able to love even the unlovable, even our enemies. Even, as David said, the politicians we don't agree with, we can still love them. Or maybe it was Dan, I forget. It was Dan. David's not owning that, it was Dan. But it gives us power to do things we wouldn't normally do as a human. Because my human instinct is to get even with you. And not only get even with you, but get one up on you. That's just the human in me. But when I put on resurrection power, the love of Jesus, it says, no, you hit me on one cheek, I'll turn the other. You stole my coat. Do you want my jacket too? Oh, you're going to force me to carry your load and walk a mile with you? How about I walk too? The resurrection power in us causes us to go the extra mile for the cause of Christ. It doesn't make sense in this world. The old man has gone, the new has come. Have you ever had something old and worn out, broken down, not working right? Like, we can make it work. We can patch it up, a little bit of duct tape and baling wire. It's got another 100,000 miles in it. When Jesus Christ comes in, he says, we don't need duct tape. We don't need baling wire. We're just doing a whole new redemption kit. We're going to come in and make all things new. We're back to the original design since the foundations of the earth, how Christ designed you and I to be and to function for his purposes and his glory. And we get to begin to walk and experience that new life in him. As we journey with Jesus, where are you at in your journey? Maybe you're clear back almost to the beginning, before the beginning, and you would say, I didn't even know sin was a thing. I didn't even know I needed to ask forgiveness and repent of that. I didn't know that I needed a Lord and Savior. I didn't know that there was a God who loved me so much that he gave his one and only Son, that if I would believe in him, I could have life everlasting. Maybe you're clear back at that point, and this is all new information to you. Or maybe you're at the point where you've just accepted Christ as these couple of people that Dan just talked about, and just beginning that journey of, I realize I have sin, I realize I need a Savior, now what? And you're beginning that journey and experience of life with Christ. And you get to begin to know who he is as your Lord and Savior and what he's called us to do. Or maybe you're deep into it and experiencing the new life that Christ has to offer you. And you have a book of testimony because of your journey with Christ and all that he's done for you throughout the days and years of your life. And all of us hopefully are in this third category. What we have through resurrection power is eternal life through Christ our Lord. And we're all looking forward to that. At least all those who are still here and breathing. We're still looking forward to life everlasting, to eternity. Something we long for, something we look for. What does God say in his word about eternal life? In John 6, verse 40. John chapter 6, verse 40. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. God's will for us, for humanity, that all would have eternal life. That's God's plan for us. That's his will. Sometimes I love that God gave us free will, and other times it really bugs me because I have friends that don't know him yet, and they continue to choose not to do his will. They continue to reject him. They continue to betray him. They continue to be enemies of the cross. But the hope that we have in the resurrection life is I know they're one stone roll away from experiencing Christ as their Lord and Savior. But I would rather God just made them do the right thing and they get to heaven. I've had to bury some of my friends that I'm not sure if I'll see them in life everlasting, in eternity. I've left that in God's hands and I'm as okay as I can be with it. But I've also got to bury some friends that I know. I still have grief and pain from loss in this life. But I know I have hope, as long as I keep my ducks in a row, that I will see them again in eternity, that there will be a reunion. That's resurrection power, knowing that this life is not all that is offered to us. God's will is for all that would believe in Jesus Christ, his Son, to have eternal life. John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. John 11, 25 and 26. This is right around the death of Lazarus and Christ raising him back from the dead. Jesus is talking to Martha. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Christ is talking about on this earth, our natural bodies will die, but our spirit will live in eternity. Which eternity will yours live in? Heaven or hell? There's only two choices. There's not an option C. There's not a D, all of the above. It's heaven or hell. You and I get to choose by how we live our lives, whether or not we will choose to believe in the Son of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. First Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. What we're invited to through resurrection life is an inheritance in heaven that can never fade, spoil, or diminish. That's pretty exciting. I look forward to that day. So as we journey with Jesus, where are you at on the journey? What are you doing with what you know from your journey with Jesus? Are you keeping it quiet, silent? Unto yourself? Do you share it with those you engage in life? We have power over sin. We have opportunity to live a new life on this earth, not the one we used to live. We have opportunity to look forward to an eternity. The Word of God calls us in Mark 16, verse 15, to share this joy. Mark chapter 15, verse 16. Oops, I got that backwards. 16, verse 15. He said to them, he being Jesus, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. That's the charge that is given to us as believers in Christ Jesus. That's not just to pastors or teachers or evangelists or prophets or apostles. That's the job of the church. Every minister of the body of Christ is a minister, and we are to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ, speaking of the resurrection power that he offers to us, to those around us. It might just be your neighbor across the street. Might be somebody in Hollywood. Might be somebody at the fishing hole. Might be somebody in the stands at a game. Might be somebody in the grocery store. Or God might say, hey, I want you to be my pastor and lead a church. He might say, I want you to lead a life group. Half dozen people. What's God asking you to do for his kingdom, for his glory? Because each of us knows someone who's in that in between the crucifixion and the stone being rolled away, place in their life that is utter destruction and turmoil and falling apart at the seams. And they're in pain and agony and sorrow and grief and they don't know what to do with it. And they're waiting for somebody to tell them about a God who loved them so much. They're waiting to hear there's a better way. They're waiting to hear there's a God who loves you and doesn't care what you've done. If only you'll come to him in repentance and seek forgiveness. He'll say, you missed the mark. Try again. You missed the mark. Try again. As long as they'll keep returning to him in repentance, as long as we keep returning to him in repentance, he continues to give us opportunity to make it right, to hit the mark, until we hit it again and again and again. And then God says, well, you're doing pretty good there, Arby. Now let's talk about this part of your life. This is a mess. Does he do that to anybody else? Is it just me? Like, I get to a place in my journey with Jesus and think I'm doing all right. And he says, yeah, you're doing all right there, but what about over here? And he opens a, God is so gracious. Like, he doesn't snowball us. He doesn't say, let's deal with all your stuff at once. He says, first come to me. See and know that I am good. Taste and see that I am good. He invites us into his presence. Invites us to experience life and journey with him. Through salvation, we are justified because of the work Christ did on the cross. Through a journey and a life with Jesus, we are daily working out our own salvation through sanctification. God working out all the flesh that is within us so that there's less of me and more of him. The RB I was 10 years ago is not the RB I am today. The RB I was 5 years ago is not the RB I am today. And the RB I was last year is not the RB that I am today. And it's a progression of continually growing in our relationship with our Lord and Savior, day by day, sometimes moment by moment. Sometimes I just need you to get me to the next moment, Lord. But when we look back over the last week or month or year or decade, the plane should be going uphill. I'm a lot more like Jesus today than I was yesterday. I'm a lot more like Jesus this year than I was last year. That's what he invites us to, the resurrection life, to be like him, that we would be a light to the world around us, showing his love, his kindness, his compassion, his forgiveness. So go and share with the world around you, because there's people that need hope. There's people who need love. And we are God's hands and feet extended to the world around us. We might be the only testimony people ever get. Might be the only word of God people ever hear. It's our responsibility to go into all the world and share the gospel of Jesus Christ and his great love for us. Amen. Have you heard the good news? He is risen. He is risen. We get to celebrate. Yeah. Thank God we're on this side of the cross and the resurrection. We get to read about it and celebrate. I can't imagine being the disciples in those days. Three miserable days. I'm going to say a quick prayer, and then we're going to close out. Have a few last announcements. Heavenly Father, we thank you. God, that you loved us so much. God, that you sent your son. God, that he willingly came to earth. God, he went to the cross of his own will. God, that he looked across the expanse of time throughout the earth. God said, I will go. I will pay the debt. I will stand in the gap for them. He looked at you and I and said, they're worth it. He said, I love them so much, they're worth dying for. God, we thank you that your love is so great. And Father, we ask that you would, God, cause us to show the same great love to those around us. God, that your resurrection power flowing through us, God, would allow us and enable us to do things we wouldn't normally do. God, would cause us to calm our emotions. God, would cause us to calm our bias and prejudice. God, would cause us to God, act according to how Jesus would act, not how we as humanity would act. But God, that we would show your great kindness and love to those around us, that they too may know you as their Lord and Savior. God, that the stones will begin rolling away. Father, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want to get in your folder, there's a few things in there we'll look at really quickly.